Well, today I have a message for you that I think is extremely important to the teens and to the parents, the grandparents, the aunts, the uncles, the friends, the neighbors, all of us involved in the Messianic community. And I hope today that this message won't offend some of you because I have a few hard things to say. I hope that rather than become offended, you would take my words and think about them, study on them, contemplate them, and perhaps maybe you could agree with me about what I have to say. The message today is about our destiny and our mission. And I'd like to start out with a story. We have a teen mission camp down in Costa Rica every year. And so we go do a few things that are a little bit out of the ordinary. And I had 12 teens in my Suburban. It can be done, especially with teens. And we're driving through the jungle. Now, I want you to picture this. We're driving through the jungle. We're on a little gravel trail that's just wide enough for the Suburban. The bamboo is brushing the edges of the car. And we're going to a little village up in the mountains to do a project in the village to help out the village people. And so I was thinking as we were going up there, this year at the feast, we need to have a theme for the teens. And maybe I should ask them what the theme should be. And so I did. I said, teens, oh, we had to stop the Suburban, move some bamboo. What do you think the theme should be for the feast this year? And of course, you know the answer because that's the theme for the teens this year. Forward to the future. But you know the reason they picked that theme? Is because, and this is sad, but some of them have been told they have no real future. You don't need to worry about finishing high school. Yeshua is coming. You don't need to worry about a career. You don't need to worry about preaching the gospel. Somehow in this messianic movement, this might offend some of you, but we have this idea that maybe we should hide in a cave, fill it with food, and wait for Yeshua to return next Tuesday, because we are certain he's coming next Tuesday, right? How many of you have heard that before? Yes. And the teen said to me, you know what? We're tired of that. We have a future. I want you to notice something, and people have asked me, I'm missing two front teeth. I don't know if you noticed that, but you probably did. You probably were thinking, why in the world doesn't he get those teeth fixed? You ever think about that? I'm going to tell you why. I've been walking this walk for over 50 years. And when I was young, I crashed my bicycle and I knocked my two front teeth out. It was painful. But I was at the Festival of Unleavened Bread, and one of the evangelists came up to me and he said, you don't need to get those teeth fixed, because we are going to go to the place of safety in 1972. And in 1975, 3.5 years later, Yeshua's going to return. You won't even have to worry about graduating from high school, let alone getting your teeth fixed. And I'm not kidding. Do any of you remember 1975? Do you remember Yeshua returning? And it went on from 1975 to 1988. 88 reasons why Yeshua is returning in 1988. Flee in 93. You know what? That's not what the Word of God said to me. It said, when I return, you won't know. I don't know because only the Father knows. And when I come, I want to find you so doing. This is what the teens were telling me in that suburban. This is why the theme of the teen program this year is forward to the future, because they have a future. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about our mission today. And I'd like you to go to Genesis 12. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. God gave Abraham a mission, didn't he? And what was the mission? To go to all the world. To take the Word of God to the world and to be an example and a light. I don't see anywhere here where he told Abraham to go find a cave, fill it with food, and wait for Yeshua to return. We go on to Israel, because Israel had a mission also. I'd like you to turn to Deuteronomy 4. And verses 1 through verse 8. Oop, I got 9 on there. Made a mistake. Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for ye to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor. For all the men that followed Baal-peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land, whether you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. What was the mission for Israel? It was to keep the commandments, show the world, all the nations around them, that if you follow the word of God, what happens? You're happy, you're blessed, and these nations would see them, and what would they do? They would turn to the word of God, wouldn't they? Did Israel do that? No. What was the mission given to the New Testament church? Let's move forward in time a little bit. Let's go to Matthew 24, verse 14. And this is the gospel of the kingdom, which will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, then will the end come. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father." Well, I'd like to change this a little bit. Baptizing them in the name of Yeshua. Teaching them to observe all things. Teaching what? The Word of God to all the nations. Teaching all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What was the mission to the New Testament church? To crawl in a cave and fill it with food and wait for Yeshua to return? Did not they think Yeshua was returning right then? It wasn't anything new in 1975. Brethren, the Messianic community has a mission. I'd like to ask you to turn to the Proverbs, the third chapter. This is my favorite scripture. And I think I'm not going to read the whole chapter because I don't have time. Tim will pull me off the stage. But I think this is very important, this chapter, because everything in this chapter exemplifies what a person of God should be. Verse 1, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." Let your heart keep his commandments. What is he telling you? The Word of God. Verse 3, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the table of your heart." Those words echo from Yeshua. Verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding." Verse 7, "Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Verse 9, "Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of your increase, so thy barns will be filled with plenty." Messianics are supposed to be poor, right? No, they're not. They're supposed to have their barns overfilled with blessings because they follow the Word of God. It says that how many times in your scriptures? You couldn't count them all. Verse 11, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction." Verse 13, "Happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding." We should be studying, shouldn't we? But you know what goes along with that studying? Understanding and wisdom. So when we take the Word of God and we stuff it in our brother's face, is that wisdom with the understanding? Think about that. Verse 25. I skipped a whole bunch here. You can go read it. It's a great chapter. "Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it comes." A man of God does not need a cave to crawl into and hide. It ends with verse 34. "Surely he scorns the scorners, but gives grace." Grace in the Old Testament. What happened? "Gives grace unto the lowly." We're the weak of the world, aren't we? We're the called out ones. But what is the grace of God that he gives you? It's his power. We need to go forth as an army with the word and take it to the world in power. And that's why he gives us his grace. And if you're a little bit timid, ask for some more. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. I have three young people that I'd like to have come up here today and speak to you. There they are. They didn't chicken out. You know, it takes a lot of courage for somebody to come up here and speak, doesn't it? And these three young people, I think they have exemplified the third chapter of Proverbs. And they have a few things that they would like to tell you about what they saw when they went on a mission trip. So the first person that I have, and I want you to think about this, but I'm going to introduce these young people as princes and princesses, because that's their destiny, isn't it? So the first person that we have is Prince Noah Cook.
Hey. Hello. I'm going to share what I did down in Costa Rica, my experiences there, and I'm going to talk about the orphanage there. So the first thing that I'm going to talk about is what the kids there come from, what kind of situations they come from. Most of them are either abandoned, abused, or their parents are poor, they can't provide for the kids, and they have to leave them at the orphanage. Some of them leave them at the step of the gate, and they just leave them there. They can't take care of them. The kids there, they know that they have to leave at the age of 18. Once they get to 18, they have no assistance from the government, no help. They're on their own. So there they have, some of them are in job training, others are not. They are simply preparing, or some don't know what they're going to do. When we go there, we try to interact with the kids there. We try to help them and encourage them. One of the things that we went there, we played soccer. We brought some balls down, and we played soccer with them. We got all the leaders and all the kids to play. And the kids there in Costa Rica, they play soccer since they are little. So they've been playing for quite a while, and they beat us pretty bad. Another thing that we had there is we had a Hebraic dance, and we had a mishkanim, some musicians down, and then the kids just loved the music. They just loved having the live guitar there and harmonica and other instruments that they had there. And in the dance, it was just breaking another barrier to get to the kids. Another thing that we did there is they had houses. And in each house, they had about 8 kids in each house. And they had den mothers or aunts that would take care of them and be as a mother to the kids. Each house is about 1,000 square feet. The boys would be on one side of the house, and they would share their room and bathroom. And the girls would be on the other side of the house and share their room and bathroom. Sometimes there's only boys or only girls, but when there are both, they split the two. In the campus area, there's about 20 homes. So there's about 150 kids in the campus. When we go there, we try to encourage them and help them. But the ultimate gift that we give them is our time. The most precious thing that they cherish is our time. We can give them food, we can give them treats, but that will fade away over time. But the memory of us being there is what they will have for a while. The best way to share Torah, to produce Torah, to teach Torah, is by our actions and giving our time, basically. And one of the most important thing on this earth is time. It's the most precious, valuable thing on this earth. And they're so thankful that we can share it with them. Thank you.
Okay. That was a good story. You know, we could build 100 more orphanages, but would that solve the problem? Having a child grow up in an orphanage without any parents, without any grandparents, without any aunts and uncles, that's a sad story, isn't it? And what's the only thing in this world that can fix that? Institute the Word of God, isn't it? Because then we wouldn't need orphanages anymore, would we? Our next speaker is a young lady. And I was going to introduce her as a princess, and she was thinking, you know, princess and little princess. But I'll tell you what, God has given her an extra measure of grace, so she's not just a princess. She's a warrior princess, Shauna Dose.
Hello, everybody. I wasn't too excited about that introduction, and I tried to get Captain Mark to just introduce me as Shauna, but it didn't work too well. So anyway, I'm Shauna. I'm 18. I was one of the campers on this year's Costa Rican trip. And it was a really good experience for me. I learned a lot. I was one of the campers in that Suburban that Mr. Roth was talking about that said that I was sick of hearing that I didn't have a future. Because when I went to camp, I was feeling pretty discouraged because I knew that I had a mission in life. I knew that music is a big part of my life. But I had been told so many times that the world was coming to an end and that I only had a few years left to live that I was having a lot of trouble motivating myself. I'm going to talk about one of the activities that we did, and that was we had the opportunity to visit an indigenous tribe of Costa Ricans. These were the Costa Ricans that were there before Columbus actually came over and populated Central America. Now, this particular tribe was a mountain-dwelling people, and several of them walked several hours to actually get to where we met them. And we took them food bags, but we also took them Bibles, because it doesn't matter how much food we give people. What they really need is the Word of God, because if they were to follow the principles in Torah, they would not be hungry, because it says that you will be blessed and your barns will overflow, as Captain Mark was saying earlier. Now, I had a really interesting experience with these Costa Ricans. I haven't had a whole lot of cultural exposure in my life, but so this was really interesting for me. These people did not smile. They did not laugh. None of the kids, none of the adults, none of the old people. And furthermore, they spoke a different language than Spanish. I'm not sure what language it was, but we had to speak through three languages to talk to them. The first thing we did was we hauled out our instruments and we played and we danced, and they thought it was kind of strange. But after that, they brought out their guitar, and they sang for us, and they prayed. And it was very interesting to see how they prayed, because they all stood in a circle and raised their arms and prayed at once. Of course, we couldn't tell what they were saying because it was in some other language. But it was a really interesting experience. Now, one of the things I want to talk about is that music bridges barriers, because those people were extremely introverted. But when we played for them, when we danced for them, when we communicated with them through music, they came out of their shell. And a few of them started smiling. After that, we passed out food bags. Now, that was an interesting experience, because when we gave them those food bags, they did not crack a smile. They took it, they turned around, and they left, because they knew that they were getting food bags. Apparently, it's like a common occurrence or something. Anyway, after that, we gave them Bibles. And that was a very memorable experience for me, because I remember as I handed that Bible to this lady, she smiled. And she tried to say thank you. I know she did, because I could see it in her eyes, although I couldn't understand her. This world is a hungry world, and we have Torah. We have the food. And I think the Messianic movement is hoarding it. We need to take Torah to the nations. We need to feed people. We need to show them love. And until we do that, we will not be accomplishing our mission. So that's our mission. We're to love people. We're to take Torah to the nations. We're to feed people. It's to go beyond the little things in Torah. Those are important. What we need to be talking about, what we need to be living, is love. If people look into this movement and they see unity, they see love, they see that we love Yahweh more than anything in this world and that we love our neighbor as ourselves, they will look at us and they will go, wow, what a great God they have. What an awesome Torah. I want to be like them. I want to live like they do. I want to be blessed like they do. That's our mission.
As it turned out, we didn't take quite enough Bibles for everybody, because we didn't realize what an impact that would have on them. They really have no opportunity to have a book like that. If they do get a Bible down there, they get it from the evangelicals, who give them a New Testament. It's only part of the Bible. And so we gave them a whole Bible, Old Testament and New, but we didn't have enough. So Joel, who is a missionary down there, he had to get on his horse a couple weeks later, ride up into the mountains to their villages and give them the rest of the Bibles they needed. So that was really, really an experience, handing out those Bibles. I tell you, those people had tears in their eyes when they got those Bibles. So our next speaker today is a young man, and he was with us there in the camp. His name is Prince Jared Bean.
Hello. My name is Jared Bean. I'm going to give you a brief summary of our experience with international business in Costa Rica and how many of their practices fail to follow the fundamentals of Torah. Well, it is our mission, as you know, to spread the light of the Torah to the whole world, as Captain Mark was saying. So, the business we visited was a banana plantation that was operating in our area. Now, we received a guided tour of the facility, and we were shown the various aspects of banana production, such as how they reproduced after one another, how the banana trees were cared for, and how they were harvested. Now, the harvesting process would sometimes require these workers to carry a big bushel of maybe up to 80 pounds of bananas on their back for transportation. Now, they had a very interesting way to transport the fruit. They used a suspended system of rails, kind of like a monorail, and these bananas would sit on these rails in sort of like a train. So I likened it to sort of a banana train, if you will. And this was pulled by a donkey. So you can imagine what a comical sight that would have been, a row of bananas flying by with being pulled by a donkey, and you're like, whoa, what was that? It's something you don't see every day. So once they're, you know, pulled off, they go to the packaging and preparation area where they're are made ready to be shipped around the world. Now, the workers on the plantation are locals that live in the surrounding area. Now, they don't drive their cars to work every morning like we do. They walk, or they ride their bike, or take a horse, things along those lines. And on this particular plantation we visited, you actually have to walk through these large swaths of land occupied by the banana trees. Now, during our guided tour, we had noticed a white dust-like substance covering each and every tree. So we questioned our guide about it, and he promptly explained to us that it was a fungicide necessary for the survival of the plants. So we continued questioning him on this subject and about the possible health risks to the workers. He assured us that they had all the proper protective gear and respirators, but the thing is, the workers actually have to, in order to get to work, they have to travel through these banana fields because that's where the roads are. The roads run right through the banana fields. And the workers, in order to get to work, have to travel through these fields while they're being sprayed. So, not a good situation. They even have signs up. There's a big sign out in front of the field that says, these fields are sprayed, enter at your own risk. The locals don't have a choice in the matter. Children and families, little kids, have to walk through these fields in order to get to school, and adults, mothers, they have to walk through these fields to get their respective jobs, which is usually working on the banana plantation. All the while, these planes are overhead spraying down chemicals on them. Now, the workers in the plantation are hired on a 3-month contract. And after the 3 months is up, they have to renew their contracts or sign another contract. And this allows the company to deny them any sort of employee benefits. So it's through this process of hiring and rehiring, they're able to do that. But they do provide their workers with a general store where they can purchase many of their goods with credit. But what happens a lot of times is sometimes they overspend on their credit and they go into debt. And that money that they spend, that credit, is docked from their paycheck. So a lot of times they end up being indebted to the banana companies. So not a good situation there either. So, even though the banana companies are providing jobs, this is the only work these workers can do because there's no other enterprise in the area, and they have to submit to the conditions that they're working under, or they'll have little or no income. So, this is a worldwide problem for all corporations not under Torah, where workers are reduced to slaves, and the taskmasters, the corporations, are in control. All to benefit themselves and not the workers. So, in conclusion, what's our mission? To spread Torah to the whole world. This was just one example of how many companies not under the influence of Torah conduct business in the world today. Thank you for your time.
I told them to wear knee pads if their knees were going to knock too loudly. And it took a lot of courage for that. Okay, let's go on. Let's put this into perspective for us personally. What can we do to fulfill the mission that was given to Abraham, Israel, the New Testament church, and now has fallen on our shoulders to take Torah to the entire world. What can we do? I like to ask myself that question every day. What have I done today to fulfill that mission? What have I done today to help my neighbor, to bring love to this world, to bring peace and prosperity? Because that's what the Word of God does. And so I would say to you that you need to ask yourself that same question. What are you going to do today? Not tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. They have a saying in Costa Rica, mañana. That doesn't mean tomorrow. That means sometime in the future. I'd like to tell you a story about a young man. This is teen day, and so we're going to focus on that. I'd like to tell you about a story about a young man. And his father was a king. And so he wanted to prepare his son to be a king also, because his son was a prince. And so, what did he do? He sent his son to one of the greatest teachers in the world. That man was Aristotle. Have you ever heard of him? The king was King Philip of Macedonia. I think some of you know where I'm going with this. The son was Alexander the Great. Now, his father took the time and made the effort to prepare his son to do what? What did Alexander the Great do? He conquered the world. He was 20 years old when his father died. Just turned out of teenage into a young man, 20 years old. How many of our teens have we trained and taught to be ready to conquer the world at age 20? Because that's our mission, isn't it? Who's the greatest teacher known in this world? Who is that? It's Yeshua, isn't it? There's more Bibles in the world. More people know about Yeshua than any other teacher. And so what kind of teaching should we provide for our youth? We have at our disposal the Word of God, don't we? The teachings of Yeshua. The teachings that we need to impart to our young people. Parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, are you doing that job? Isn't that something you can do every day to fulfill your mission? And you know something else? Alexander the Great, he marched his army 30,000 kilometers and conquered the world. But you know what? Every foot of the way, he was the first guy into battle. One of the first things he did was conquer the Persians, the Persian Empire. And the king of Persia, which was Darius at the time, guess where he was? He was hiding behind his troops, right? And where was Alexander the Great? Right out in front, the first guy across the river to attack Darius. Now, think about the return of Yeshua. Where is he going to be? Right at the front of the troops, isn't he? And where are we going to be? Right behind him. And where is Satan usually at? He's usually hiding behind the troops, isn't he? He's not the kind of leader that's out front. What kind of leaders do we need to be? And what kind of leadership do we need to teach our teens to be? You just saw three teens up here today. Where are they? Right out front, aren't they? Setting the example. What about all the music today and the dancing? Those teens were right up front, weren't they? Satan would like us to think that we need to crawl in a cave, fill it with food, and wait for Yeshua, wouldn't he? Because that's how he operates. But we need to have the power and the grace that God gave us. We need to sharpen our swords. We need to sharpen our teen swords and our children's swords, because who is the future? And we need to go forward to the future. We need to go forward with power and might, not hide behind the troops. You know, when Yeshua was on this earth, he did a lot of teaching, didn't he? We have some of that in the New Testament. Do you ever recall him teaching anybody any doctrine? Did he, like, explain exactly the color blue that you need in your tzitzit? Did he give the exact right calendar to you? I don't recall any of that in there. What did he teach? He taught the mission. He taught the kingdom. And that we need to go forth and love our neighbor as ourself and love God with all of our hearts. Sharpen our swords. Go ye therefore into all the world. If Messianics could concentrate on that mission and quit worrying about doctrine, maybe, just maybe, we could accomplish that mission. We, brethren, have a special calling. Our teenagers have a special calling. They're princes and princesses. I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians 15. We can start in verse 22. This is really an important scripture for you to ponder. For as in Adam all die, we know that to be a fact, don't we? Even so in Christ all shall be made alive, each in his own order. Christ, he's first, right? The first fruits, and afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. Who is that? That's us, isn't it? That's our teens. We have a special calling. We're different. We're special. And we need to prepare our teenagers for that. You're not the foot soldiers of Alexander the Great. You are not called to be the foot soldiers. You are called to be the leaders, the generals, the captains. That's what you're called to be. And that's what our teenagers are called to be. We need to concentrate on giving them the training, the schooling, and equip them for the mission that they have to undertake. Their sword needs to be sharp. Their feet need to be swift. And they need to have leadership qualities. How many of you are teaching your children to be leaders? Leaders! Princes! Princesses! You need to start thinking about them in that way. Not to think of them as just, oh, that's those teens over there. I wonder what they're doing today. They are our future. I'm 60 years old. How much longer do you think I'm going to be able to carry that sword forward? How much longer do you think I'm going to be able to put the barbecue on? Not too many more years. I'm going to be like Ron and Donna. I'm going to retire. And guess what? Those teens that we have here today, we need to teach them to be leaders, to step forward, to go to the entire world with the Word of God. Continuing on, verse 24. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God and all, and the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. And who's helping him? Us, the called out ones, the saints. Are you preparing your teenagers to do this? Are you preparing your children to do this? This is a huge task. This isn't for the faint of heart. And we should not shirk from it. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Amen. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Amen. We are not the foot soldiers. We are the captains, the generals, the leaders under Christ, under Yeshua. We need to think about that. You know, what is our destiny? What is our destiny? Genesis 17, verse 5. No longer shall your name be called Abraham, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. What is our destiny? The next verse says that out of Abraham come many kings. That's us. Kings and priests. Revelation, first chapter, verse 5 through 7. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over all the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to God, and to the Father, and to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. And there's our teenagers right there. They aren't like the rest of the teenagers in this world. They're not. They're special. They're called out. And they have a mission. And they have a destiny. Revelation 5. Verse 10. I should have started in verse 9. You can read verse 9 yourself. And have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on this earth. Brethren, I'd like to ask all the band to come back up. The teens, if you'd all come up, the dancers. We have a special treat for you today. We have some very young speakers who would like to speak to you. This is their very first, come on up, up front. This is their very first opportunity to show leadership. This is their first opportunity to give their first sermon. Here they come. Now, we've had your children in the back teaching them lessons. Were you wondering what we were teaching them? Because what we've been teaching them is to become leaders. And before you, now you have all of the little princes and all of the little princesses. Amen. Whoa, look at that line. Look at that line. Does it end? Okay, look at that. Okay, all of the children have come together today, and they have a message for you. Are you ready, kids? Turn around, face the audience. Okay, you ready? What is our destiny? All right, amen. And kids, what is our mission? Amen. Well, you all just gave your first sermon, and you didn't even have to be nervous, did you? Okay, let's get in the circle. We're going to do a dance. I'd like to ask the congregation to stand while we do this. We're going to do Days of Elijah. After the dance, I'm going to take questions. Okay, kids, get in a big circle. Teens in the middle. Teen dancers in the middle of the circle. Sneak in there. You know what it takes to get 120 12 to 5-year-olds organized? I'll tell you what, you can give the ladies that work with them a big hand. Oh man, that's a big circle. Whoa. No wonder Tim won't give the kids their own spot on the dance floor. It would take the whole floor. Get in the circle. Teens in the middle. Okay. It'll take you just a minute. Do we have some shofar players out there who can blow those shofars? Okay, we're ready? Here we go. Everybody sing along. Okay, all you kids can go sit down, all you teens.